Good morning, everyone. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you that we can pray to you, and whether alone or in a group or all 7 billion of us praying at the same time, how awesome that would be. And yet you hear every prayer. And so, Lord, lead us this morning as we bring our attention to another prayer and another healing in the Gospel of Matthew. And Lord, may your will be done, in Jesus' name. This morning, we're going to continue in the book of Matthew chapter 9, and we are now into about our fourth healing in this chapter. And there's just a tremendous lesson here for us, I think, with regard to faith today, or at least that kind of stood out in my heart. And we're now going to see a couple of blind men given sight. And so I wanted to begin this morning just by singing this song, Open Our Eyes. Open our eyes, Lord, we want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch him and say that we love him. Open our ears, Lord, and help us to listen. So let's sing along with this. Open our eyes, Lord. Well, let's turn to Matthew chapter 9, verse 27. And the last three times we met, we were looking at Jairus' daughter and then the plea to come, and Jesus began to go there, and then there was an interruption with the woman with the issue of blood, and he healed her, and he said, "Your faith has made you well." And then he went to the house, and Jairus' daughter was raised from the dead. Now, the very next verse says, when Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out, saying, "Son of David, have mercy on us." So we see a busy day in the life of Jesus, from one healing to another, and here we see that as soon as he left the house, these blind people followed him. And notice they cry out, "Son of David," the first time this term has been used in the New Testament. And this was evident that they knew who he was, a very messianic term, not really mentioned at that point yet by anybody else that we have on record anyway. And notice what their position is. They're blind. They're following him as best they can, and they ask for mercy. They ask for mercy. Isn't that a wonderful way to begin any time we approach the Lord? Mercy, right? Mercy. And when Jesus had come into the house, he didn't stop there. He kept going, probably to draw out their faith. I don't know. But he went on into the house, and then they followed him into the house. And this is really no small chore if you're blind, I would think. But they came to him, and then Jesus said to them, notice what he says, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" He didn't say, "Do you want to see?" He didn't say, "Why are you here?" In this case, he just said, "Do you believe?" Very interesting to me, the emphasis here on belief. The emphasis on faith, they're synonymous terms in the original language. And the last healing of raising Jairus' daughter, there was no faith in the person being healed, right? She was dead. The one before that, the woman with the issue of blood, Jesus commended her on, "Your faith has made you well." Now, the very first healing in this chapter, in verse 2, we had... Then behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed when Jesus saw their faith. So now he's talking about the faith of the people bringing the guy there on the stretcher to be healed. And so we see belief. But we don't want to cross over that line and say if you're not healed, it's because you don't have faith, because that's not the teaching. We need to believe, and if we want to receive any spiritual blessing, we have to have faith. We have to believe. Yeah. Look at your salvation. How do you get salvation? By believing, right? By faith. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, what? That whoever believes shall not perish but have everlasting life. And so apparently, there's also an element of belief here in healing. It doesn't mean that everybody has faith gets healed, but it probably the opposite of that is true, that many people are not healed because they don't have faith. Because if you don't believe God's going to do something, probably he's not going to do it. What does James say? When you ask, ask without doubting. Because like a man who doubts is like a wind blown by the waves blown by the wind of the sea. And so Jesus then says, "Do you believe that I'm able?" And that is my question to you. Do you believe that Jesus is able? What are you bothered with today? What is really on your mind today? Or I don't know about today, but I mean right now in your life, this week or this month or this year. And have you taken that problem to the Lord? Are you living in peace knowing that that's in his hand and he is able to deliver you? Do you really believe Romans 8:28 applies to you? All things work together for good? Yeah, I believe that. I just, it's the timing that I'm not so concerned. Because it's been years we've been waiting on this and nothing has happened yet. But we also know that what 1,000 years are is a day in the sight of the Lord. So he may say, wait a minute, right? But here, if you're able to believe that I can do this, and then what did they say? I'm not sure, Lord. No, they said yes. Yes, Lord. Without hesitancy, apparently. Then he touched their eyes. Spurgeon commented on this. He said, the requirement here was enhanced by Jesus touching them, and they needed to touch him in faith. So he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, let it be done to you. According to your belief, if you believe, according to your belief, and the believing that he would do that enable it to be done, apparently. According to your faith, let it be to you. So that's the third time in this chapter that the healing is related to faith. We know that in the other two accounts, in the Mark and Luke account of the Jairus' daughter situation, that Jesus told Jairus when the report came to him that his daughter had died, he said what? Do not be afraid, only believe. Only believe. Only believe. So here we have another instance of faith involved in the healing. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus sternly warned them, saying, see that no one knows it. And this is a continuing theme. We've been over this several times already, where a great miracle has occurred, and Jesus said, don't tell anybody. And we know there's a number of reasons for that. I think the predominant reason is Jesus came, as he said, to seek and to save the lost spiritually. His primary mission was not physical healing. And he didn't want to be elevated prematurely to a position of being lifted up by the people to a kingly position based on the physical things they saw. Because while he did come to minister to people's needs, the primary reason was spiritual. So he said, see that no one knows it. Now their faith kind of falters here a little bit, it would seem, because they didn't have faith to obey him in this case. When they departed, they spread the news about him in all that country. And so they couldn't keep quiet. And we've mentioned that before. He always tells them to keep quiet, and they can't shut up. And he tells us to tell everybody, and we don't say anything too often. But we have here another great example of the authentication that he is the Son of God, and he is given the power to heal. And we'll have another one yet ahead, right after this, of a mute man speaking. And so the various methods of healing and the various maladies, so to speak, are really no problem for Jesus. Now, you do see that the Pharisees couldn't handle this. So what did they accuse him of? They accuse him of casting out demons by Satan. And of course, I mean, that is really pretty ridiculous, but that's what they said here in verse 34. So as we look at this, how are our eyes? Are our eyes open? Are they closed, spiritually speaking? I think we can all see, or we wouldn't be here, at least as far as I know. I didn't see anybody helped in with a white cane or a dog. But how is your blindness spiritually? Do you have spiritual ignorance and unbelief? I know you're not here because of that, because you do love the Word and you love to pray, and those are the two things we need to overcome, spiritual ignorance and unbelief, it would seem to me. But we want to be careful to grow spiritually, otherwise we'll damage our spiritual vision. We need to recognize who Jesus is. Like the blind people said, Son of David, have mercy on us. And I think we need to always cry out to him for mercy. And we need to come to him in belief, in his power, with expectancy. Yes, Lord, I believe. And say that without hesitancy, really. Father, we thank you for this prayer once again of healing. And we see the importance of trusting you, the importance of believing in you, and that we know you will do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, but we must believe. And so, Lord, help us not to limit what you want to do in our lives through unbelief. Help us not to limit you in any way. But may we say, yes, Lord, there's no limit to what you can do through us if we are available, if we are believing in you, and an unlimited expectation, Lord. Guide us this morning as we pray. Much to pray for. And Lord, we just want to pray as a group first and then break into small groups later. And Lord, we just thank you that we can come before you in your precious name and know that you have invited us to come boldly to the throne of grace. Lead us now in this time of prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.